2 Corinthians with our sermon series titled, Treasures in Clay Jars. We are looking at treasures from God that shine through our weakness. Our treasure this morning is faith. What exactly is faith? Because faith is not the mere knowledge about Jesus. We know from the Bible that even the demons knew about Jesus. However, they are not saved. Faith is a matter of God working in us to establish and maintain a relationship with Him. Faith is the tool that enables people to reach out for that forgiveness of sins that Christ won for all people. Listen closely. Faith is the gift. Believing is the act. Faith is a work from God that is done in us and not something that we do ourselves. With this clarification out of the way, let's look at our text today. St. Paul really tells it the way it is. In our text are these phrases, meanwhile, we groan. And then he says the following, we groan and we are burdened. St. Paul understands that many of us are burdened in our life. Are you someone who is burdened? Are you someone who is groaning? Or do you have really bad days? In 1957, Alice Roth had a really bad day. She went to a Philadelphia Phillies baseball game, and during that game, Richie Ashburn hit a foul ball. It hit Alice in the face, it broke her nose, and she was bleeding all over her clothes. As they were putting her on a stretcher, the game went on, and then Ashburn, with the very next pitch, hit another foul ball, and for a second time, the baseball hit Alice while she was lying there on the stretcher. In the history of baseball, Alice is the only person to be hit by a baseball twice in the same game, in the same inning, consecutive pitches. Alice was having a really, really bad day. She was groaning, and she was burdened. St. Paul was not talking about Alice's burdens. He was talking about the burdens that come to us because of the weakness of our world and the groaning that is ours when we face our own mortality. Let's look at how Paul talks about death in our text. For we know that if the tent, that is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have a building from God. And then look at verse 4. I love this verse. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. In plain language, here it is. We strive to have the strongest faith possible, and with that faith, we yearn to be in heaven, further clothed with a brand new body. Now, this gets kind of morbid, don't you think? We are talking about death here, usually not the most uplifting subject in the world. We normally don't walk around and carry on a conversation with someone about our death. I mean, who does that? Years ago, a magazine interviewed some children regarding the topic of death. These children were ages 4 to 7, and here are some of their comments. A good doctor can help you so that you won't die. A bad doctor sends you to heaven. Only the good people go to heaven. The other people go to where it's hot all the time, like Florida. And my personal favorite, when you die, God takes care of you like your mother did when you were alive. Only God doesn't yell at you all the time. One of the things that I cannot explain as a pastor is life after death. I believe it. I have faith in it. But I've never been there. I can't explain it. And Paul understood that this experience of death is not really the end of your life. What you are experiencing is a transition from one dwelling to another dwelling. And as frightening as the word death sounds to us, those who have had near-death experiences, those people who have literally died only to be brought back medically, most of those people say that they will never fear death again. They claim that it is infinitely peaceful, even natural, even pleasant. And St. Paul believed this too. He had this enormous faith in his God. And he wrote the following, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly We are being renewed day by day. He is talking about the Holy Spirit who strengthens your faith so that you understand that your eternal life far outweighs any kind of momentary problems that you're going through right now. And so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Paul states this in verse 7 of our text, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." What we see is temporary. What is unseen is eternal. What a magnificent statement of faith. And Paul shares his heartfelt love for the church and some of the sufferings that he went through. What empowered Paul to endure in the face of his suffering? It was his immovable faith in his God. Because Paul was this amazing person. If we went through all the setbacks that he went through, shipwrecks and beatings and prison time, we would be whining and complaining for all the world to hear. Paul's great faith originated from his confidence in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul knew that Jesus was still alive, and he understood this. And because he understood this, he knew that life conquers death, hope conquers despair, and love conquers hate. This is the attitude that we need when we are tempted to give up on ourselves. Because of our faith in Jesus Christ, we believe that tomorrow will be better than our today. Tomorrow was better for today, than for today, for an older lady who was very, very sick. And her pastor called her husband to see how she was doing, and the husband said, "She's not doing well at all. She's much worse. In fact, in the last 2 days, she went downhill rapidly." And the pastor said that he would see her the following day. And the next day, the pastor quietly entered her bedroom and was shocked to see the change in her since the last time that he visited her. This lady's body was shrunken, her face was pale, her features were caved in, and the smell of death permeated this room. And the pastor, thinking that she was asleep, tiptoed to the bed, and suddenly her eyes opened and she saw him, and she said, "Oh, pastor, have you come to pray for my healing?" And the pastor said nothing, but then calmly sat down on the edge of her bed and very gently took her hand and said, "No, I have not come to pray for your healing. I have come to help you die." And then this woman started to weep. And as tears filled her eyes, she said, "Oh, pastor, thank you. Thank you for coming. This is what I need." And then that pastor gave her the Lord's Supper, and he read the Bible to her for a full hour. And then she received her new body in her new home, heaven. And for that lady, her tomorrow was better than her today. This woman was groaning, longing to put on her new heavenly dwelling. She knew that while she was still at home in her earthly body, she was away from her Lord. This woman walked by faith and not by sight. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. This is the kind of faith that we need in our life. For it is by grace you are saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Do you have that kind of faith? Or does your faith kind of waver sometimes when you go through some difficult times in your life? In our lives, personally, I think that we have three kind of days. The first one I will call mountaintop days. These are days when everything is going really, really well. We are grateful for these mountaintop days. But most of the time, think about this now, they don't do much for us spiritually. These mountaintop days can leave us with a very shallow faith that is seldom tested. A charmed life has the ability to actually be a detriment because it's going so well that we don't need God. The second part of life consists of ordinary days when we work at everyday duties. This, of course, is where we spend most of our time. When we are young, such days are boring. But as we grow older, such days are kind of reassuring. We mature people look forward to those ordinary days. How many of you mature people get to the point where you think boring is a good thing? And finally, there are the dreaded dark days of life, when we trudge heavily through doubt and discouragement. Sometimes, and many of you know this personally, these days string out into months or even years before we begin to experience some kind of relief. And sometimes we never get over it. Eventually, all of us will experience some dark days. These are days that truly test our faith. Nevertheless, they can offer some valuable benefits. Personally, I think that these days of testing the faith offer the greatest opportunity for spiritual growth. When we have been through a time of testing, it can strengthen us, and we understand now that we can handle the next test that might come our way. And I know that some of you are going through some very personal times of testing right now. It might even question your faith in the Almighty. And some of you have some physical or emotional problems that are off the scale. They are so terrifying that you don't know how to handle it. Something like this happened to me many years ago. I was out in a boat on the ocean, 6 to 10 foot waves, and I got terribly seasick. And I just laid there wanting to die. And I knew I wouldn't die, which made it even worse. And the captain of the boat finally comes over to me, and I was lying there in this fetal position, and he, with a big smile on his face, he says, "Cheer up! Cheer up! Seasickness never killed anyone." And I was thinking, don't tell me that. I want to die. It's only the hope of dying that gets me alive for this long. God is good. God is powerful. However, suffering happens. God frequently chooses to not intervene to take our suffering away. And in the midst of our burdens, it takes great courage to live out these words from Proverbs. Quote, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't rely on what you think you know." Listen closely. When it comes to suffering, only God knows the fullness of what is being accomplished in your life. So, why does God let all this happen? Here's what the Bible says. God is in charge of the universe. God permits our pain. And God is in that pain with us. We never go into a nightmare alone. And every person who goes through this asks two questions. Why is this happening to me? And the answer is, we don't know, but God can be trusted. God provides grace in the present, and he promises grace in the future. And the second question is this. Why doesn't God do something about my pain? And the answer is, God already has. God sent Jesus, whom we can receive. We can receive him in just a few moments from now in the Lord's Supper. We have faith that the one who raised Jesus will also raise us. In our text, Paul boldly states this promise of this transformed body. For we know that if this tent that is our earthly body is destroyed, we have a building from God. Let me close with this story. I have used this story at a recent funeral service, so there might be a couple of you who have heard this before, but I thought it was perfect for this text. There was this old-time pastor who was making his homebound calls, and one of his parishioners was very close to death. This person would be his very first visit. And the pastor had his dog with him, and he didn't want to leave the dog in the car because it was terribly cold. And so he brought the dog inside the home. He left the dog on the main floor as he went up to the bedroom. Now, this man was a very strong Christian, but he was having his doubts. He was about to die. His faith was shaken. And the man asked his pastor, "Pastor, what is it like to die?" And as the pastor thought about how to answer this question, he heard his dog walking up the stairs. And because the bedroom door was closed, the dog could not get inside that door. And so the dog started to whine and scratch at the bottom of that bedroom door. The dog was begging to come in to that bedroom door. And then the pastor said to the man, "Do you hear my dog outside your bedroom door? He has never been in this house before. He has never been in this bedroom before. He has no idea what's on the other side of that door. But he knows one thing. His master is in that room. And because he knows that everything is all right. And then the pastor said, and that is what death is like. We have never been there. We don't know what's on the other side of that door. But one thing we do know, our master is in there. And because of that, everything is all right. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you need to have faith. Faith that when you are in times of discouragement or trouble, that Jesus is right there with you. We need to have faith that this is what death will be like for you. You have never been there. You don't know what's on the other side of that door. But one thing you do know, because Jesus is faithful even when you are not, you can know that your master, Jesus, is on the other side of that door, waiting for you. And because of that, everything is all right. Amen.